Well, if I needed your prayers the last two nights, I really need them tonight because we have my brother priests here in the congregation, and you know there's no one harder to preach to than priests. So if you wouldn't mind just saying a little prayer for me that I'm able to speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what the Lord wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, I want to offer something tonight that you can also take home with you and hopefully continue to use to draw grace from these days that we've had together, these days of adoration, these times of worship. Grateful that we have also your future pastor here in our midst, so he'll be able to spur on whatever sticks with him from the conference tonight, and certainly he's already It's wonderful to be united with him already in prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So we have the past and the present and the future. It's everything is here. And we have the Alpha and the Omega on the altar, even more importantly. We heard these beautiful words in our gospel that I would say are worth memorizing. Really, the whole passage. You could memorize the whole passage and return to it again and again. The rest that Jesus speaks of is the rest that all of us long for, peace, to hold on to peace. So many things disturb our peace. So many things take away our peace. But to have that deep peace that the Lord wants us to have that deep rest, where do we get that from? Jesus speaks to us also about being little ones. How do we do that? And then to draw a word from our Pentecost sequence, as we've been reflecting on for the past two nights. In the Pentecost sequence, it says, Holy Spirit, greatest comforter, sweet guest of the soul, sweet consolation, in labor rest, in heat temperance, in tears, solace. O most blessed light, fill the inmost heart of your faithful. What burdens us so much? Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What burdens us? What is so heavy? And how can Jesus invite us to take on a burden, a lesser burden, a burden that we could begin with already tonight? It's not something far away from us. It's very close. Because the heaviest burden that we bear is our self, is our pride. We bear the burden of needing to assert ourselves, to insert ourselves, to control everything. We bear the burden of our pride that we have to prove ourselves, that we have to fix everything and make everyone end up in the right place. We bear the burden of being too often like Martha, who is not bad because she's doing things. The problem is that she's anxious and worried about many things because we bear this insanity in us that we try to control things that at a deeper level we know are beyond our control. We try to control our health. We try to control the behavior of others. Sometimes we try to just control our own thoughts and our own behaviors. We try to make ourselves somehow more advanced and more sophisticated than we really are. We have a hard time accepting reality as it is. If we could live in the present, if we could accept that things are not the way that we want them to be, if we could accept that we are not the way that we want ourselves to be, if we could accept that God is in control, and so we don't have to be, there's peace in that. You know, the greatest peace And the burden, the yoke that Jesus wants us to take on is love. When we know that we are loved, even in the midst of very difficult things, when we know that we are loved, we find rest in our hearts. In both our gospel and in the Pentecost sequence, it talks about finding rest in our labors. Isn't it true that when you're laboring for someone you love, it's a little easier? It's a mysterious thing that I discovered a number of years ago. Have you ever noticed that it's easier to do other people's dishes? I just find that fascinating. I live in a monastery. We have a food service. We don't do our own dishes very often. I'm very enthusiastic to do other people's dishes when I go over to their house. And they're very enthusiastic for me to do their dishes. So it's always easier to do other people's dishes. When we know that we are loved, we can do many things, and they're far less burdensome. When we don't know that we're loved, we end up expending a lot of energy trying to earn love, trying to prove that we are lovable, trying to make people love us. It's very burdensome. It weighs down our hearts so much. Jesus invites us in the gospel to be like little children. He says, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones." Something about the wise and the learned is they seem to have to prove that they're the best, prove that they're lovable. They seem to expending a lot of energy to get attention and to feel self-satisfied. But little ones seem to be more willing to receive love. If we can allow ourselves to be little ones, it helps us so much. On her deathbed, St. Therese, who is the great doctor of the little way and understood in the most excellent way how to be childlike, as Jesus tells us is necessary for entering the kingdom of heaven. You know, we point to a lot of other verses about judgment, but I feel like we don't point to that one enough. Jesus says, unless you become like this child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There are only little children in heaven. Doesn't that sound really fun? I'm really looking forward to that. Unless you become like this child, unless we learn to be playful, unless we learn to trust in the Heavenly Father, unless we learn that we don't have anything. As St. Therese said when on her deathbed she was asked, what does it mean to be little? And she said, it means to realize that God places his treasures in the hands of his little child to be used for a time, but they always remain his treasures. If we really knew that and we didn't cling to our abilities and our accomplishments, if we didn't cling to our own will and our own designs and our capacity to put things forward and to clamor after success and our own ideas, and we had that open-handed availability of little children to let God place into our hands his treasures, but to know that they were always his treasures. Maybe it seems easier to do that in some of the settings that I work in. I know that I've given homilies that people enjoy, and I know that that could be done now. That's why I always ask for your prayers, and I place the burden on you to make sure that God works through me. But, you know, at the end of the day, nobody's going to live or die based on my homilies. But I was talking to a surgeon recently who does surgery on spinal stenosis. So really, fractions of an inch make a difference between freedom and healing and paralysis. That's the space that he works in. And chances are, there's going to be a paralysis in there. Every patient is told that up front. And he gets anxious because there's a lot going on in his hands. But he realized God is more important. God is more in control. God's plan is the one that's going to get worked out. He's going to do his best. But ultimately, he has to trust in God. And he said one thing that helped him do, first of all, was to have a little bit more peace a little less anxiety about the failures, because they're going to happen, and he's not in control of every variable. And he's learned to trust that God is going to have to take care of this person. But he said the thing that he realized is that if he's not that much in charge of the failures, he's not that much in charge of the successes either. He does his part, which is relatively small. God does his part, which is relatively big. And that's a pathway to peace. And I'll tell you, I'd much rather have that surgeon in his humility and his trust in God operating on me, and I'm much more ready to trust that God's will is being carried out if I end up paralyzed or if I end up freed. If we can be little children, if we can trust in the Heavenly Father, if we can place all things in his hands and simply do our best, it helps us so much. And then that's the last thing that St. Therese said about being little. She said, the other thing about being little is not being discouraged about our failures. She said, because little children fall all the time, but because they're little, they don't hurt themselves very much. And it's our pride that causes so much pain when we fall. I've had the occasion to say to people in confession who come back sometimes confessing the same things, well, you forgot pride. Because I can see how disturbed you are about your sin. What did you think? You weren't going to sin again? Let's be honest. We struggle. We fall. We continue to trust in the Lord. And we don't grow stale from that. We don't grow complacent from that. Because who wants to fall? Nobody wants to fall. We want to do better. We want to get up. We want to keep going. But what holds us down more than anything else is a lack of hope, is discouragement. That's just multiplied by our pride. If we can learn to be little, if we can learn that God has a plan for us, we can't grow up any faster than he plans for us to grow up. And even if we're 40 or 50 or 80 or 90, before the Ancient of Days, we are all very young and very little. And there's a long way to go. God will complete that journey in this life or in purgatory. In heaven, we will still be children, and he will still be the Heavenly Father. Even Jesus is forever the Son. He never becomes the Father. And so we too can simply embrace our childhood before the Father. We have a Father to care for us, to comfort us, and to give us rest. I just want to offer you two little ways to keep living in this grace. We've spent this time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We haven't had enough time here together to pray, but I hope a few of you at least have visited the Adoration Chapel the last 2 days, and I hope that all of you will visit the Adoration Chapel in the coming days, just to take a little bit of time in silence with him, to lay before him all of your failures and all of your successes, your whole lives, to take up his yoke, which is love, free and unconditional love, so that we can find rest in the midst of our labors. Just to take a few minutes like that in prayer makes a huge difference. No one comes out of that unchanged. It's such a blessing that you have an adoration chapel here. What a difference it makes. A little bit of time with him. And the other is to take up his word and to allow him to speak to you in his word. And I really encourage this. We can use our Christian theology, our Christian faith to our advantage. And when you take a little bit of time to pray with the word of God, and I encourage everybody, read the gospel for the day. It's an easy way to do it. Otherwise, we find ourselves opening to random pages and we end up somewhere in Leviticus reading about discharges of blood. We have no idea what's going on. Or we end up some strange place in the prophets and somebody's killing somebody and some nation is overtaking another one. Read the gospel of the day. It's a good starting point. We don't need to make it harder on ourselves. And also, the church picks these little passages day after day and we can follow through. But then here's the important thing. When you read that passage, ask yourself this question. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you about this question. How do I see God's love for me in this passage? His love is on every page of the scripture, and his love is for you on every page of the scripture. And if you can ask that simple question, it'll keep you from wandering off somewhere in the weeds. Now, I really like looking up Greek texts and finding parallel passages and reading about the historical analysis, and I can spend like hours doing that, and I haven't prayed for a minute in that whole process. But if we want to pray with scripture, try that simple question: how do I see God's love for me in this passage? And if you look, you'll find it. The Holy Spirit will help you. Even passages like when Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, if the things had been done in Tyre and Sidon which took place in you, they would have converted long ago." And you think, where's the love? But you know, he could have given up on them. Even the fact that he spent the energy to call out to them, to try and break through the hardened shell, because he wants them to have that rest, to know that they are loved, and to turn away from their pride, to drop the heavy yoke of self that they're carrying, to abandon their own ideas, which they placed above the will of God. Jesus expends the energy on us because he wants so much for us to have the rest that he promises us in the gospel that we heard, in the Pentecost sequence that we've reflected on. Take up the scriptures every day. Spend time every day reading the Gospels. I repeat to you words that Pope Francis has said 100 times in his pontificate. Read from the Gospel every day, and read it looking for the love of God for you. That'll give you rest and hope, help you to be little children of the Heavenly Father, and take up the easy yoke and the light burden that Jesus offers us, which ultimately is like an arm around our shoulders, knowing that we have a companion to walk with us on this journey, a companion to pick us up when we fall, and we shouldn't be surprised when that happens, a companion to redirect us when we start going astray, a companion to console us when our hearts are broken and our eyes fill with tears. The yoke he wants to put on you is nothing more than his own arm around your shoulder. But it's not what the world's telling us, and so we have to go back again and again to take up the divine perspective, to renew ourselves in that divine love. Spend time with the Blessed Sacrament. Spend time with the scriptures. Spend time with Jesus every day. Be little children and take up again and again the yoke of love.